eleison, Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. Christe,
and good evening. This is Tabitha, and you are listening to White Wellness. Today is July 21st, 2020, broadcasting out of New York for the American National Radio Network. That song right there was The Electric Prunes with Kyrie Eleison, Mardi Gras from 1968 off of the Easy Rider soundtrack, one of my favorite movies that came out in 1969. And just 1 minute, my cat is howling to be let out, so just hold on 1 second, everybody. I will be right back. I'll play the rest of this song. Hold on.
I love myself as a freak, but I love to freak.
I've got an idea. Let's go outside.
Okay, I am back. All right, howdy to everyone who's listening. Howdy to Josh and howdy to OG Snake Eyes. Thank you guys for joining us for this broadcast. So for tonight, to start out, I wanted to go over something I saw in this local Jews paper that came to my house. So last week I had gone over something that had come to also in a local Jews paper. And this has to do with why now this local paper is capitalizing black, but they are not capitalizing white. And the reason they give for this is, and this is saying that a couple of magazines, the Associated Press, the Times. They're mentioning ones that came before them and why they're following suit. And they're saying that they're not capitalizing white because white does not represent a shared socio-cultural identity. It is simply a physical description. And of course, that is a bunch of zoggery. I don't see it perhaps to worthy to go through to the entire article, but just illustrating more of this crud coming out of here with granting a capitalization to the B in black, which I have no issue with, but I do have an issue with keeping the W in white as small. I don't think that is correct, but of course they're doing this as part of, I think what's going on now is not only a racial crisis, but also a bit of a humiliation ritual as well. And of course, they point out that they're capitalizing the B in black and they're not capitalizing the W in white. And they're saying that we have a connection to our past, whether it be Irish American, Italian American, or Polish American. Everyone has a connection to their past. And of course, they like to dredge up things about slavery, never mentioning, of course, who, Jew, was responsible for the transatlantic slave trade. Of course, just blaming us for it. Just more of this everlasting crud is kind of what it seems to be at this point. But just wanted to mention that they are now going to be capitalizing the B in black. I'm seeing a lot of papers, not just this local Jews paper, but also the Associated Press, like this article said, the New York Times, but I've seen it all over the place. And of course, they're not following suit with the W in white. Just figured I would share that with everybody. And Josh is saying, wow, fucking wow. Yeah, it is really mind zoggling and kind of ridiculous and kind of just like rubbing our noses in it. That's kind of how I see it to be. And speaking of all this BLM stuff, I wanted to mention this. I happened to be taking a drive through an area on Oyvay Island, very wealthy area of Oyvay Island, the type of area where you have your mailbox and then you drive all the way down a driveway to get to your house, the kind of house where you have to drive to get your mail. And as I was driving by, I saw two houses that had BLM signs outside of their house. Actually, one of them had two signs outside of their house, and it said Black Lives Matter. And then in the one that had the second sign outside their house, it said, say their name. And it had a list of all these blacks who were supposedly killed by cops. Of course, oftentimes these were people who were agitators and it was a self-defense type of move. But of course, they're promoting it not as such. But these are the areas where these people have probably never encountered these types of people to begin with, yet they're doing this virtue signaling. I just thought it was pretty ridiculous. Of course, they could be doing that just as a way to kind of think that they're safe, but there really is no safety, especially not by doing that. You just look like an asshole. I thought it was just really, really ridiculous. And I also saw a lady, or I guess it was a young black lady, later the same day I was in a grocery store, and she was wearing a mask that had this blingy font or this blingy script across it, and it said social distancing. So just kind of very zoggy stuff that I saw right there. But I even thought of perhaps going up to the person's house and just taking the sign and vandalizing it or something. But then, hey, that could be a hate crime, right? So probably not the best thing to do. And I was also thinking about this, too. They're always talking about Black Lives Matter and all this type of stuff. Black lives don't matter to Jews, the ones who are orchestrating and behind this whole BLM organization, which doesn't do a darn thing for blacks. Its aim is to break up the black family and insert the LGBTQIAV+ type of stuff. So it really doesn't help there. And black lives don't matter to blacks either, but they want us to have them matter to them. It doesn't really make much sense. And also, when you think about it, blacks, American blacks here in this country, who are a sub-race, they're not, the same I guess you'd say the same like ancestral breakdown as the ones who were still in Africa, of course, because they're a subrace, they're a mixed people. They're some of the most privileged blacks on the planet, if not the most privileged blacks on the planet. And they're the ones who are behaving probably the most atrocious. It's really mind-zoggling. It really is. And who was it, of course, that brought them over here? It was the Jews. And now they've become collectively, not all of them, but collectively, a burden to the white man. It's really very much a messed up situation. And to boot, they are capitalizing the B in black and keeping the W in white tiny just to rub our noses in it. Let's check the chat right here. Rich D is saying that blacks are spoiled brats and they're crybabies. Yeah, it's unfortunate. As a whole, their behavior really isn't very good. And the ones who are well-behaved and are exemplary for their race oftentimes get sucked up into the stereotype of the other ones. It's unfortunate. It'd be good if they had some type of person currently that was like a Malcolm X or a figure like that, that was a positive, healthy, intelligent, articulate black role model. But there doesn't seem like there's a lot of people out there like that. Of course, you have someone like Louis Farrakhan, who I would say is probably one of the more positive black leaders out there for black people. Unfortunately, he's a bit anti-white, but he would probably be, I would say, one of the more positive ones out there. And of course, he himself is Jew-wise. But other than that, most of the black leaders and role models out there are not good role models for the black community. At least I don't think they are. Oh, hey, ExoStar. Thanks for joining us. Just wanted to share that little tidbit type of stuff about BLM and black privilege and all this zoggery. So now on to a couple of other things. Oh, one announcement I wanted to make too, just to put this out here. In case we happen to get showed over here at the American National Radio Network, could happen, who's to say, especially with all of the crimps happening right now in regards to censorship, a lot of people being censored off of YouTube, other anti-social media platforms, BitChute, things like that. If we happen to get showed and we cannot broadcast anymore, I certainly hope that does not occur, I will put a notice out on my website, which I have. I don't use this website all the time. I built it about, 6 months ago, I guess. But I would recommend that people go to this site to get any news that would be pertinent in regards to the site, if anything happens to happen to the site. And that website is white-wellness.com. I will put it in the chat. Oh, please do share the link. If anyone would like to share the link, I never have an issue with anyone sharing the link. Thank you if you'd like to share the link. So whitewellness.com, I'm just writing this right now in the chat, white-wellness.com. That will bring you to my website. I have a couple of things on here. I have some categories for articles. It's basically going to be like a website where there's articles and links for things, that type of website. Of course, this one is the broadcasting one, the American National Radio Network one. But if something does happen to our Podbean site, I just wanted to put that out there so people could find a way to find us in case something happened. So just wanted to put that out there for everybody. So if you couldn't get in touch with us and you didn't have our emails or whatever, you could just go to white-wellness.com. So now a couple of articles that I found this week whilst I was perusing on the internet. Some of them have to do with some of this vegan news, and I don't really think we have a large vegan leadership, or listenership rather, and I don't share these articles for that purpose. I share them so everyone could understand this angle of the JWO and how it could affect possible meat shortages in the future, especially since I'm thinking that they're fixing for a wave two, possibly around flu or Jew season, which would be in September, October, when they always say it's, quote, flu season. There's really no such thing as flu season. It's just a time when people have lower immunity, their terrain is messed up, and they're more likely to have a viral detox. But anyway, here is some news about vegetabolism and Oyed AI. Allow me to take a sip of liquid. And this has to do with Brits, British people who were of the millennial age. And this article says 25% of millennial Brits now embrace going vegan due to Oyid AI. Oyid AI has caused 25% of Brits between age 21 to 30 to find plant-based foods more appealing. Millennials are now embracing veganism, or what I like to call vegetabilism. So because of all the scare tactics of Oyid AI, with them saying that the virus is zoonotic, meaning that it can leap from animal to human, they have brain poison and fear-mongered young people who are still growing, 21, you're still growing to 30, basically because of this pandemic, they're eating more plant-based foods, which is really not a good look, not a good thing for anyone to do. But of course, since of all this fear-mongering and propaganda, this has become a more appealing option. Of course, a lot of these foods are exceedingly processed. They can be stored for a long time in someone's cupboard or pantry. So I think that some of the appeal with this isn't necessarily the fact that it's plant-based. I think that's part of it, based on the zoonotic hoaxing that they've done. But I think it's also the fact that these things can be said to keep shelf stable. Of course, many foods that have animal products in them, if they're tinned or dried, they also can be kept shelf stable. Even before the spread of Oyid AI, we were seeing a growing interest in plant-based food and drink across the global markets, this article is saying. And I don't really necessarily think this is true, because I'm getting the feel from the things I have read in the other vein is that people are now kind of eschewing the system more, getting in touch with procuring goods from a family farm, doing stuff more local, shopping white local, as opposed to supporting, you know, all this produce that's being flown in somewhere, supporting Big Zog, doing all these things that really don't help anybody. So this could only be possibly true. Maybe some people are doing this. Of course, this article is out of Britain, so that may be unique to their situation over there. And they show this really gnarly sandwich as the image, the cover image here. It's like a bun, and it looks just like it's a guacamole and cheese sandwich, maybe. And maybe there's like some tranny egg on it. It looks like a very poor combination. It doesn't look the least bit appetizing to me in the slightest. But just more of this crud. I'm sure we'll see more stories like this as time goes on, whether they be true or not. But they want to promote this diet to all of us, of course, telling us it's healthier, telling us it's going to stop climate change, telling us it's going to stop the spread of the virus. All of this, of course, is absolute and complete zoggery, total zoggery. So on to another article that I found. This has to do with what I call Franken meat. They call it lab-grown meat or chicken meat. And it looks like KFC, good old KFC, is developing lab-grown chicken nuggets in Russia. KFC Russia is bioprinting a company. Oh, and a bioprinting company. 3D printing solutions will create lab-grown chicken nuggets from animal cells and plant-based ingredients. So, of course, some people who are hardcore vegetabilists are going to have issue with this because they're going to say, oh, it has animal cells. Sometimes they're utilizing feathers as well. But the whole goal of this vegetabilist tranny movement isn't to get people who already are not eating meat to eat these things. It's to get people who are eating meat to eat these things. That's the goal. So here is this article. KFC is developing lab-grown chicken nuggets made from real animal cells and tranny ingredients in Russia. The international fast food chain partnered with Russian biotechnology company 3D Printing Solutions, which produces bioprinters and materials for 3D bioprinting. The project aims to create the world's first lab-grown, also called clean, cell-based or cultured chicken nuggets. KFC expects to receive the first product for testing by fall 2020. This is really creepy stuff. Not good stuff. Of course, it's something to do with health. They're just trying to cater this to people's palates who are already perverted to get them off of meat, even though eating chicken nugget meat is not necessarily good. It's just to take them one step further down the path of destruction. Eating this transgender, transhumanist, this is actually more transhumanist meat. If the meat that's just fake is fake, That to me is training meat. This being made from cells in a lab, this to me is transhumanist meat, more than transsexual or transgender meat. I prefer the term transsexual. I don't believe there is anything as gender. Male is a man and a female is a woman. This whole idea of there being, I don't know, 6 million genders. Of course, the Talmud says there's like six or something, seven genders or something like that. So of course, Jews would be promoting the LGBTQIAV+. But regardless, I like to use the phrase or the word transsexual, not transgender. So of course, this 3D bioprinting technology can print stuff like 3D that's, you know, non-edible. But the idea of this printing food, it just sounds totally gnarly. This just sounds like a really weird thing. But of course, it's going to be embraced as cutting edge, progressive, sustainable, slaughter-free, whatever trendy buzzword they're going to be utilizing. And KFC has already put out a training-based chicken nugget. They did a little trial earlier in the year in Atlanta, in Georgia, in Juja, and they had a line, I think, going down the side of the KFC. It sold out that day, and I think those nuggets are now permanently coming to the menus in California or Comifornia or Cabalifornia or California coming pretty soon. So yeah, this training meat stuff is, well, just about getting people who probably don't give a shit about their diet but still eat a decent amount of meat to make their diet even more deleterious than it already is for them. And that's what the goal of this is. Of course, we here at the American National Radio Network do not support a vegan diet, and it's well known that veganism will shrink the brain. That's oftentimes why you see very erratic behavior from these people. Also, when you have no or low cholesterol, you see a lot of aggressive or mentally ill behavior. You'll also see kind of a look where they have like sunken or hollow eyes. That is because the brain is shrinking. Not a good look in the least. Extremely unsavory in both male and female. And Snake Eyes is saying, just ate a big ass juicy steak. Great. That sounds pretty groovy. I like a steak every now and again myself. And Josh is saying, but Tabitha, I want to identify as an anti-Semitic timber wolf. LMAO. Well, you can do whatever you fancy. It's all up to you. Tonight for me, I had an Asian meal. I had some miso soup that I made myself. I really like miso soup quite a bit. I've been making it for a very long time. I kind of grew up on it, so it's a comfort food for me. So I had miso soup, and I typically don't do it with the tofu. I just do it with scallion and wakame seaweed. And this time I added a little bit of watercress. Very, very big fan of watercress. Probably my favorite green vegetable. I used a sweet white miso or sweet white miso. And then I made a very interesting fried rice, or what I like to call fried lice, because that's how they usually say it when you order it from the Chinese restaurant. Say, fried lice, you know. Not that I really get that food much anymore because they use sugar and seed oils and MSG and all this stuff that's like totally gnarly, GMOs, you know, all that stuff. So I make it here myself, and I use lard as opposed to seed oils, and I fried it up, white basmati rice, carrots, scallions, eggs, peas, and some leftover chicken hearts. I had made chicken hearts that I had put on skewers and put it on the grill like sometime last week, like a yakitori style, like teriyaki sauce. So I just chopped up the leftover grilled chicken hearts, which seriously didn't taste that much like organ meat. Oftentimes people think something like liver is, you know, spleen, kidney. These are really kind of just not beginner organs, but heart, since it's a muscle, it tastes very much just like dark meat. So if anyone's ever interested what chicken hearts taste like, they taste like dark meat chicken, just like really rich dark meat chicken. So that's what I had for dinner. I had miso soup with watercress, and I had chicken heart fried lice. OG Snake Eyes is saying that he likes pho. Yeah, pho is really good. That Vietnamese soup with the rice noodles and all the fresh herbs. I like that too. And also, he's also saying he had a salad that he made from stuff from his own garden. Excellent. That's the best way to have food, is the food you grow yourself. And ExoStar is saying chicken hearts are great raw. I've never had raw chicken hearts. I've had raw chicken liver and raw chicken breast. I've only had beef heart and lamb heart raw, which I do like. I do like those two things. I especially like lamb quite a bit. Yeah, the lamb is very, I don't know, very mild and very easy to eat. Yesterday I had lamb liver and lamb kidney in the sun. And since I'm not too crazy about the way those actually taste, I have a little technique where I chop them into very tiny pieces, and then I just swallow them back like it's a pill. And, well, it's the best multivitamin you can get your hands on. Really good stuff. And, of course, you don't have to eat this stuff every single day. These have so much nutrition in them. And, of course, think about when an animal, you know, is slaughtered or harvested, as they say, there's only oh so much of the kidneys, the liver, the heart, the spleen, lungs, all of these organs, and it usually has to go around to feed a crowd. So these foods are really best eaten not every single day, but eaten, you know, just in dribs and drabs. Of course, if someone is looking to build themselves up and is malnourished, they would, of course, want to take them in maybe a more ample quantity. But once you've kind of built up your reserve or your reservoir, you can just have them once or twice a week, which was what I pretty much aim to do. I like to get about a quarter cup of liver about once or twice a week. That's pretty much how I do it. And that seems to work fantastic for me. It is a very, very good source, if not the best source of A, and that's true vitamin A. That's the retinol form, because what's in carrots and sweet potatoes, that's not true vitamin A. And some people don't really convert that very well. Of course, you can have those things from time to time if you like them. I'm quite a fan of carrots. I've always been a fan of carrots, especially raw. But if you want real vitamin A, you want to get it from animal foods. Rich is saying in the chat, we had a massive barbecue yesterday. We made 12 racks of ribs, 2 dozen bratwurst, 2 dozen Polish sausage, 2 dozen hot dogs, and 2 dozen Italian sausage with all the fixins and a ton of barbecued chicken. That sounds like quite a feast. Very nice. I think I like all of those things that you mentioned. I don't think I've ever had Polish, you mean kielbasa, I'm assuming, by Polish sausage. I don't know if I've had kielbasa, and I don't know if I've had bratwurst either, actually. I'm somewhat new to this meat stuff. I only really started eating this stuff about a decade ago, especially the land meat, the four-legged land meat, which would be like the porks and the beefs. So, yeah, I haven't had those things. Not kielbasa. You said, I wish we had that one. Yeah, I don't think I've had kielbasa. I've had andouille, which is like that Cajun sausage, I think. But I guess it's something on my list that I'll have at some point. Ribs are something I fancy quite a bit, especially if they're the baby back ones. Those are pretty good. And I typically try to make my own barbecue sauce if I can. I like to make one with balsamic vinegar. That's like a reduction of balsamic vinegar. Not a huge vinegar fan in general, but if I am going to have a good barbecue sauce, I like to make it with balsamic. It's kind of a tangy, beautiful, deep, rich color. Kind of has like an Italian flavor to it. And I also, of course, love like just a classic Kansas City one. And I also like that North Carolina German one that has mustard. That's a really good one as well. But yeah, barbecue is good stuff, especially this time of year. I mean, you get outside and who wants to heat the kitchen up, right? It's nice to be able to go outside, maybe socialize with a couple of people and just have a good time. Yeah. Yeah, oh, thanks. I'm glad you like those sauces right there. The German one is especially good with the mustard. Most people don't think of barbecue sauce and mustard. They just really think of vinegar, tomato paste, things like that. But there was a large German population, I think, that originally settled in, North Carolina. And that's why North Carolina-style barbecue sauce is a mustard-based sauce. Even if you don't like mustard, you still might like it. It's very interesting stuff. I'd recommend looking for a recipe for it. Okay, back to other articles that I have. Well, this was something that I found that was just increasingly or extremely zoggy, shall I say. And this has to do with more things being labeled racist. If enough things haven't already been changed, think of all the bands and the team names that have already been changed due to this whole BLM crud. Think of all the statues that have been tore down. I believe there's a new statue somewhere. I think it's in the UK. They had erected in place of where they had torn one down of some supposed racist, and they had erected one of a black woman giving the, you know, the commie fist, which they say is the black power symbol. The black power symbol is a commie fist, and communism, as we know, is political Judaism. So here is something else. This has to do with Trader Joe's, which is a very Jewy store. I would say it's pretty Jewy, pretty Zog. Not my favorite place to go. Sometimes I go here. I have not been here since Oyid AI has started. I'm kind of thankful for that. Been scaling back, doing more of the small stores and stuff, and liking that more, and doing business with a local farm, which just suits me fine. So now there is an online petition calling on Trader Joe's to change its, quote, racist packaging. And of course, there's nothing racist about this. When they're using the word racist, it just means they want to erase any sense of any type of racial integrity, racial identity, racial pride. Seriously, that's really what it boils down to. And I checked the name of the person that had launched this petition. It was a 17-year-old teenager from California, and this teenager is a white woman or a girl who launched this petition to change racist packaging. So obviously a young person who has been very much a Zoomer, who has been very much brainwashed or brain poisoned by the Zog propaganda. And this comes out of Communist News Network. More than 1,700 people have signed a petition urging Trader Joe's to change the labeling of some of its international food products, calling the grocery chain's branding racist. The grocery chain labels some of its ethnic foods with modifications of Joe that belies a narrative of exoticism, ooh, and perpetuates harmful stereotypes. And that's that word over there being used, ethnic foods. What the hell is an ethnic food? That basically means any food that's not white. So basically by saying that, you're saying whites aren't ethnic, whites don't have an ethnicity, whites can't exist. Notice this language. It cites Trader Ming's, the grocery chain's label for Chinese products, Arabian Joe for its Mideast products, and Trader Jose for its Mexican products, and a handful of others as examples. There's also Trader Giotto, which is Italian, but they probably won't go after attacking that one as hard because, of course, Italian is white, but, you know, Chinese, Middle Eastern, and Mexican are not. The Trader Joe's branding is racist because it exoticizes other cultures. It presents, quote, Joe as the default normal, and the other characters are falling outside of it. Well, that's a bunch of zoggery. If that was true, shouldn't the store's name be Trader Ming or Arabian Joe or Trader Jose? It's not. These are just products that people are buying and the store is carrying for those types of things. Maybe they shouldn't carry any food that has any type of ethnic denomination, regardless of the label. Maybe they should just carry nothing that has any ethnic denomination. Let's see how many customers they get if they do that. The grocery store chain, which first opened in Pasadena, California in 1967, said it has already been in the process of updating order labels and replacing any variations with the name Trader Joe's. That's probably just something they said to save face, I would presume. While this approach to product naming may have been rooted in a lighthearted attempt at inclusiveness, we recognize that it may now have the opposite effect, one that is contrary to the welcoming, rewarding customer experience we strive to create every day. Packaging for a number of the products has already been changed, but there's a small number of products in which the packaging is still going through the process. Trader Joe's is the latest in the line of companies to rebrand its products following the widespread protests over racial inequality sparked by the death of George Floyd. Last month, Quaker Oats announced it was retiring the 130-year-old Aunt Jemima brand and logo, acknowledging that it was based on racial stereotype. Uncle Ben's and Mrs. Butterworth's quickly followed suit, as well as the cream of wheat also had a black fellow on the package. A racial stereotype just means that it's true. That's it. Not every person of that race will adhere or demonstrate the racial stereotype, but it just means that it's true. And what's wrong with that? Oh, I forgot. The truth is anti-Semitic, right? Yeah, that's right. So this is just more mind zoggery. I just think this is kind of tomfoolish. I don't really give it much thought. Like, I'm not really too bummed about this because Trader Joe's is not someplace that I really do a heap of my shopping. You go there and all the produce, whether it be organic or not, is just wrapped in plastic. A lot of their products have seed oils and other ingredients that I would deem deleterious. Sometimes someone in my family goes here and picks up stuff for me, but it's very simple. Typically, I'll ask for just basmati rice because apparently there's been a shortage of white rice or white rice since this whole Oyid thing has been going on. And I also like to get the frozen organic raspberries so I can make this raspberry beverage, which is very delicious. I make it this time of year. It's very cooling. I'll give the recipe actually right now. It's very delicious. What you do is you take 1 cup of frozen raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, or blackberries, or you can buy one of those mixed bags. I like the raspberry best. So you take 1 cup of raspberries, 1 whole lemon or lime, the juice. So you want to throw the 1 cup of frozen berries, the juice of 1 lemon or lime into a blender, add a pinch of salt, 2 tablespoons of raw honey, just use whatever you like, and then cover that with water, buzz that whole thing up until it's smooth, pour that into a 64-ounce glass mason jar or something like that if you don't have that, top it off with water, then twist it closed, give it a shake, pop it in the fridge, and then you'll have a delicious, naturally sweetened cooler. I call it a fruit cooler. And this is really good stuff. But of course, you don't have to get the raspberries at Trader Joe's. It'll be best to just get things local. And it don't have to be frozen either. Just oftentimes the frozen is more readily available and it's a little bit more affordable. So very much just a bunch of more ridiculousness, more of a seeing of this type of stuff going on. I'm even looking here at this petition, which was started by this this 17-year-old California girl. Her name is Brios Bidel, definitely white. They're saying that these stereotypes about this, it perpetuates other racist tropes such as the noble savage and the white god narratives used during this period. And she's referencing a book called White Shadows in the South Seas and saying, even using the word traitor, oh, they're probably going to change their name now from something else besides Trader Joe's, right? Traitor is still part of the grocery chain's name. It leaves the question, what in particular about this book inspired the company? So it's saying that Trader Joe's and the crew members wearing those costumes, like those shirts, it was inspired by a book called White Shadows in the South Seas, which perpetuates, like I said, the racist trope that such as that of the noble savage and the white god. I don't see any issue with that. I don't think it's a, quote, racist trope. Many of these people were absolutely savages. They are still absolutely savages. Look at what the Amerindians did with scalping. Does that not connote savagery? I certainly think it does. And think about other cultures who refer to the whites as gods. Quetzalcoatl was supposedly a white god in Mexico. So oftentimes, it's all just about covering up the truth. And that's what all this is all about. The whole point of this whole Oyid thing and this whole BLM thing, it's all about covering up the truth, gaslighting people, fear-mongering people, and just getting people to really just deteriorate in a certain way. And I'm seeing a lot of that. I'm seeing a lot of people who are just deteriorating with all of these things happening. And all these stories are happening just so quick. It's so hard to keep up with everything. If I was to keep up with every single story, and if the other guys, if Mike and Josh were also to keep up with every single story that happened every day, we could do a show every day, probably twice a day each. We still couldn't keep up with all the crud that the Zog system, that the Oyve system is throwing at us right now. But this was just one story of many that I decided to share. Not that it's really just too important, but it's just more of the sign of the times of what's going on. More of this just everything being racist. But you know what? I hope this word loses its punch, this racist word, you know, because they've been using it so much, so often. It kind of reminds me of like how the Black community took back the word nigger, or how the feminist community took back the word cunt and like took off that recoiling nature of it. And in actuality, the word nigger just means black, like Niger, and the word cunt actually means goddess or kundalini. It doesn't mean, you know, an awful person, but of course now both of those words have a real, real powerful jolt, real powerful charge, you know, is invoked when people use that type of language. But I'm hoping that this racist word just gets overused, it just gets burned out, and then people just eventually say, you know what, fuck you, I don't care if it's racist or not, because that would be a good thing if that happened. Let's take a Gandhi at the chat. Yeah, it was a young girl, 17 years old, who did that petition. Probably just a young girl who has been completely brainwashed by the Zog system, unfortunately, like a lot of young people. Although there are a lot of young people who haven't been brainwashed by the Zog system either, and that's good to see. I mean, sometimes I think with the boomers, that's kind of over. You know, the boomers have been brainwashed and brain poisoned so much, and a lot of them just want to, you know, sit back and relax and chill with their grandkids and, you know, enjoy their retirement. But I really think that the generations that are going to put any resistance against this are going to be Gen X, Millennial, and I guess Zoomer, because the Alpha ones are still a little too young. But yeah, a lot of the boomers are still kind of waiting for things to go back to normal, which I don't think that that's going to be happening. OG Snake Eyes is saying, just use this shit to make you stronger. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's really one of the reasons I do this show. I always hope it's inspiring. I hope it's informative and hopefully a little humorous as well. So that was that story about that Trader Joe's thing. Just really ridiculous. And I really think they are going to burn out this word racist, because they're just declaring everything to be racist. So I look forward to seeing the day that that word just has its expiry date be met. So here's a couple of other things I found. This one has to do about the mask. This one was actually from last month. It was just so absolutely mind-zoggling. I figured I had to share it. So this is also out of CNN, Communist News Network. Worried about the crown virus while having sex? Wear a mask, says a new study. And that sounds pretty romantic. Practicing public roboting. Social distancing is what people call it. I call it public roboting. Practicing public roboting, wearing a costume, mask, and washing your hands for at least 20 seconds. The recommendations to prevent the crown virus are familiar refrain to most Americans. Of course, these are all parts of the Talmudic ritual. There's little guidance, though, when it comes to sex in the age of Oyid AI. So three Harvard physicians, I'm sure they're experts, examined the likelihood of crown virus infections in a number of sex activities. And to better prevent infection during sex between partners who have been isolating together, people should wear the costume and avoid kissing, the author writes. Those are more recommendations were published in the Annals of International Medicine. How sex could help crown virus spread. Crown virus's sexual transmissibility hasn't been rigorously studied, that's because it doesn't exist, but we do know that it's a highly contagious respiratory illness, no it's not, that spreads through droplets like coughs, sneezes, and spits. The sexual health implications of these recommendations have received little attention, even though it appears that all forms of in-person sexual contact can carry risk for the transmission of the virus. You can't transmit a virus. This is all just a bunch of crap. And this information is coming from someone, an expert at Harvard Medical School, who studies the mental health of transsexual youth. Sex puts people in close proximity, so partners are likely to be exposed to these droplets. How to make sex less risky? And they're saying that you should wear a mask, even wearing one at home, just around your house. You know, whether you're having sex or not is probably a good idea. But this is just, oh God, this gets even worse. The researchers or the experts recommend masturbation and digital sex. Oh, that sounds healthy. That sounds really intimate and healthy. The people who engage in the latter should be aware of the security risks involved, the researchers said. Sex between partners who've isolated together still presents some risk, because one partner might have been exposed to the virus. Oh my God, if they've left the shared home. Ah! The researchers didn't recommend a mask for partners in this situation, though. Of course, they just don't want people to have sex. They don't want people to feel good. They don't want people to have kids. obviously this is just a bunch of crud, absolute crud, disgusting. Communist News Network, of course, passing this off as gospel. You cannot be surprised there. I mean, anybody who's wearing a mask during sex, I don't know what's wrong with you, honestly. Wow. It's kind of probably the same kind of person that just eats absolute crud and gets vaccinations would be the kind of person that would wear the costume during sex. I mean, really, this really brings whole new meaning to like BDSM and role play. Pretty soon they're going to be adding this. If you go to like the BDSM websites, they'll probably be adding this as like a new fetish, right? Well, they already have something actually called medical fetish, which is some really, really sick stuff where people actually get off like being in a medical scene where they're like forced to be strapped down in like a bed and be injected with stuff and have to wear like medical gear. So honestly, wearing this crown virus costume during sex is really just medical BDSM, and they're telling you it's something different, but that's really all it is. Pretty gross. People are saying in the chat, LMAO. Josh is saying, you've got to be fucking kidding me. OG Snake Eyes is saying, go watch the porn goy. And Rich D is saying, that's so weird. Oh, we're getting a call from Josh. Hello, good evening.
Oh, Tabitha, this is Dr. Lipshit. Listen, I have done strict research on this. Listen, you have no idea the danger that you're in, Goyam. You cannot have sex. You have to wear the mask. This is worse than AIDS. Okay, we've done top research, Goy. That you have got to wear the mask. It's just how it is. Look, I am a PhD master's Dr. Lipschitz, okay? Now, what you have to do is you have to put the mask on even while you kiss. Even if you want to kiss your partner, you have got to put the mask on. And don't even think about oral sex, boy. This is just, I would rather have AIDS. This is just pathetic. How dare you, Goyam, laugh at this? This is not funny. This is top scientists here. Why are you laughing? I'm reading the chats. Look, yes, Dr. Lipschitz, yes. Don't make fun of my name. Who do you think you are? This is so serious.
You sound like you have the mask on, Doctor. Are you talking with the mask on now? I could barely hear you with that that.
I have to wear the mask, Thomas. I have to wear the mask. This is health consciousness. We have Dr. Anthony Fauci at the head, and the CDC and the WHO, and don't forget our very wonderful Mr. Bill Gates. They are going to work on great things for us, Goyam.
Well, honestly, I would trust those guys as much as I trust the official story of the Hala hoax.
How dare you? I will call my lawyer. That's it. I'm getting hold of Barry Goldstein right now. You just wait just 1 second. I'm going to call my lawyer, and we are going to sue you for $6,666,000.56.
Well, I don't have the money. I don't agree with the whole mask thing. But you know, to each their own. Jewish wellness is very different than white wellness. So you know, we all have our views.
You have to wear the mask. I don't understand why you don't wear the mask. You have to go to the store. You have to wear the mask. If you're going to have sex, you have to wear the mask. If you're going to kiss your partner, you have to wear the mask. If you're going to talk on a radio show or a podcast, you have to wear the fucking mask, boy. It's just, this is the new normal. It's the new normal.
Should I wear it when I sleep?
I'm a doctor.
Should I wear it when I sleep or when I shower?
You should never take it off.
Interesting. What about eating meals? To have a little hole in it for meals?
Well, we're going to work on that, Tabitha. We're going to make sure that we inject all your meals into your body intravenously.
Interesting.
We have the technology. We have the technology. We can do it.
Interesting. Maybe the new thing will be a feeding tube.
That's right. This is Dr. Lipschitz signing out. See ya, Goyam, and wear that damn mask. It's so serious. serious. Especially. It's more serious than AIDS. You have no idea. Anyway, I'm signing off, Graham. Bye-bye.
Ooh, we got that call from Dr. Lipschitz there. Yeah. Just playing with some of the sound effects right now. Well, we have to listen to what he says. He is an expert after all. And we do have to listen to experts. We want to be safe, don't we? That was really funny, Josh. Thanks you for adding a little bit of humor to the broadcast. ExoStar is saying that there's already compilations on the pornographic sites of people wearing the masks and stuff like that. So they're definitely, I mean, it could be someone's fetish already. Who knows, as deranged as that sounds, but really, really crazy stuff. Really crazy stuff out there. It's a real wild world, real wild time to be alive, that's for sure. But yeah, I just couldn't pass up that article. It was just absolutely too ridiculous to pass up. Really, really ridiculous. I mean, it's just like, it's a cult. It's a fetish. It's everything in one, this whole mask thing. It's really crazy. And it has nothing to do with health. That's the most... Actually, it's the antithesis of health. That's the most mind-boggling aspect about it, is that it's so antithetical to health. But of course, now it's become more of just a thing that they're enforcing via mob rule. That seems to be where it's at with that. But I got to say, if you really avoid going places where people are wearing the costume, in a way, it kind of just ceases to exist. This whole Oy Yid thing. It's only like Oy Yid is only real like once you kind of partake in like the Jewish hologram. Otherwise it doesn't exist. Like, do you think Oy Yid right now is like exists like in like some rural area of like the Amazon or Africa? It doesn't exist. You know, it only exists on the internet and in all these like metropolitan areas. It's a hollow hoax, as I would like to say. All right, so that's all I had to say about the mask. Just like I said, too Talmudic to pass that up. So now I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about something that I see a lot of people talking about on the internet, especially now where a lot of people have kind of become more, quote, Jew-wise in light of Oy Yid AI. And that's this whole Khazar theory. And a lot of people push this and promote this and say that Jews are Khazars. And this is not true. This was something that I was on the fence with for a while. I just didn't really, I guess, understand it. I grew up probably like, well, many of you did, thinking that Jews, especially the Ashkenazim, were just an ethnicity of being white. Like, there's Italian whites, there's Polish whites, there's Irish whites, Scottish whites, Hungarian whites. I grew up thinking that they were just an ethnicity of being white, and that the other Jews, the Sephardim and the Mizrahim, the ones of the Iberian Peninsula and the ones of the Orient, were kind of like non-white. So that's kind of what I thought, and that's kind of what the Jews themselves pass off. So I was, of course, confused on this issue. Perhaps you were too, and it's hard sometimes to find information about this, but Jews are definitely a race. They all have what's known as the Kohanim or the gene. We don't have that. None of us non-Jews have that. And the Khazars are not Jews. They are just another victim of the Jews, one of the many victims of the Jews. Of course, the Jews always like to talk about how they are victims of everybody else, right? Oh, they did me wrong. They did me wrong, right? When it's always, well, it's the opposite. It's always the opposite with these characters. So here's your tip-off of why the Khazars are just another victim of the Jews. Since when do Jews accept converts? They don't. They may allow people to convert, but they don't accept converts as their own. You need to have the bloodline go through the matriarchal lineage in order to be considered a Jew. So even if someone's dad is a Jew, they don't consider you a Jew. If you convert, you're not a Jew. So the whole idea that a bunch of like Eurasian people who are Khazarian, like that area of the world, decided to convert and all of a sudden they were Jews, that doesn't hold up considering the way that Jews consider Jews to be Jews. And of course, these people, these Khazars, they don't have this Kohanim or this gene, so they can't be Jews. This Khazar theory is yet another hollow hoax put out by, guess who? Jews. And here is a little bit more about the Khazars. And here it goes. It says, I found this information. Let's see, let me just skim through it to make it readable for everybody. So the article, or this little tidbit where I got it, just starts out by saying, the author is saying, I wrote an article a while ago about the history of Jews in China, and Mike did a wonderful show about this that you can find on the network. It's about the Kaifeng Jews, I believe. The Jews have a long history of being in China. Definitely something for people to brush up on if they don't know about that. Very important information. But anyway, this article starts out with the author saying, I wrote an article a while ago on the history of Jews in China. They were major anti-Jewish roots during the Ming Dynasty against the Jews by the Chinese because the Jews had taken over the Ming Dynasty and were using their power to abuse Gentiles, or non-Jews, as their alien Jewish soul demands. I noticed the Jews have an overwhelming amount of Asian blood in them, the Western Jews. And this would be, of course, the Ostjuden, the ones of what they call the Ashkenazim. The Khazar theory is nonsense. The Jews in Eastern Europe came from the regions of Germany and France and went east. However, despite that direction, they still have Asian features and blood, and they do. Given their inclusive interbreeding, or what's known as endogenous marriage, I don't think they got this from the Mongols later on. I believe they already had the Asian blood in them when they came to Europe, because the Jews started off in the further east somewhere. There's a lot of stolen and corrupted Shintoism and Judaism, as well that is as far as China and Japan, as Shintoism is Shen Daoism in China. The Jews have been exposed, and there are numerous sources and proof that they are a, quote, different race. And that is definitely true. The Khazar myth of Jews being white has been debunked by many resources. Their genetics and DNA tell it all. Never mind that the Jews admit that they are separate beings and want to destroy us all, even the white race. What more information, or what more, you know, proof does one need? Many Christians, unfortunately, fall for the Khazar theory regarding the Eastern Jews, the Ostjuden. The original Khazars were warriors, not merchants and infiltrators like the modern, quote, Khazar Jews. So that was really some of the only information that I could find about this, because a lot of it is very garbled. Some people just say it's debunked. They don't really tell you the bottom line of it. But all you have to really know is that they don't convert. They don't accept converts. They may allow you to convert, and of course they'll charge you a lot to do it, but they don't accept converts as their own, and they are not white. They are a different race. They all have the Kohanim gene. So just to debunk that Khazar theory, it is a hollow hoax. I thought that was important to share because it was something that I was on the fence with for a while and not really understanding the full picture, because of course what we're told growing up is that they are just a different form of, you know, white ethnicity, like the Ashkenazim are just a different type of white ethnicity, which is, well, not true. It's information they put out there because then they can pretend to be white and then talk about white privilege and then write books about white guilt and white fragility while they try to genocide us, always playing both sides. That's how it works. Always remember the motto of the Mossad, thou shalt wage war by way of deception. This is how they work. So just a little bit of information right there that I wanted to share. And now I just wanted to share a little bit more about race. Just a little tidbit right here. And I had gotten an email from ExoStar, and he had asked me a question about race and how many basic races were there. So I wrote him back this response earlier today, but I wanted to share it with everybody else. And this is kind of how I see the race issue. It might be evolving for me at a later point when I gather more information on it. Unfortunately, the new books about race, I would say to definitely avoid, because it's more of that Bosnian type of anthropology. Franz Boas, this guy was a Jew. It's all that out of Africa type of crud that will just toss the Jews into the equation. And well, it's all fake. It's all absolute crap. If you're going to study anthropology in a university setting, you're going to have to adhere to all this stuff that's absolutely and totally fake. I, at one point, wanted to pursue anthropology, but I realized very soon after I wanted to, you know, basically go for that type of thing, is that it was a waste of my time, that I wouldn't actually be able to do the work that I wanted to. Of course, if I had existed 100 years ago, I could have done this work very easily, but now I would have been labeled a racist. I would have probably lost all grant money and all that type of stuff. But anyway, here's a wee bit about race based on what I know thus far about race. So this is the email that I wrote back to ExoStar earlier today. Most older anthropology books will say there are four main races: the Europid, the Mongoloid. And of course, Europid means white, Mongoloid means Asian, Negroid means black, and the Australoid is like the Aboriginal type. And they are not Negroes or not African blacks. I was confused about that when I was younger, but I always wondered why they had straight hair and why they didn't have that kind of more kinky or woolly hair. I go on to say in the email, if you add Jews, it's basically five. Amerindians are Mongoloids, just the red type as opposed to the more yellow ones. And the people who claim they are indigenous to Central and South America are Aztecs, also Mongoloid. Our race, the white race, was there first, like in the case of every continent. Many of the races today are sub-races. Sometimes Jews are added to the Caucasoid category of race, which includes whites. I think that's a way for them to hide, though. People of the Caucasus area of the world are typically Eurasian, so a Europoid-Mongoloid mix. Muslim isn't a race, it is a religion. But the typical Muslim is an Arab or a Semite. Semite is considered a language grouping, not a race. I see it as a sub-race and a hybrid of some sort. They probably have some type of Kapoid African blood, a Negroid sub-race with Mongoloid-style eyes and less Negroid facial features. If you want an idea of who would be a Kapoid black, think of someone like Nelson Mandela, who's more light skin and has kind of like that eye that lacks the epithelial fold, so more of a Mongoloid-style eye. Persians claim they aren't Arab, and Iran was once white, but they are brown and look like Semites to me. Basically, the typical Muslim is a mixed-race person and a savage. Both the typical Muslim and the Jews consider themselves to be Semites. Jews have the Kohanim gene, which makes them an entirely different race. They also have a few noticeable phenotypes and are very mixed people from endogenous and exogenous marriage, meaning inbreeding and race mixing. So two extreme poles, either they're inbreeding or they're race mixing. There are three types of Jews: the Ashkenazim, the Jews of Eastern Europe, the Sephardim, the Jews of the Iberian Peninsula, and the Mizrahim, the Jews of the Orient. The Khazar theory is a total hoax. That's one of the topics I'll be talking about this evening. So that was that little email that I wrote back to Exo Star, but just wanted to share that with other people, because sometimes it's difficult to kind of navigate our ways through all this race stuff, because there's so much crap put out there about race, which is absolutely fake, from it being a social construct to all this other type of stuff. So just wanted to give a little bit of an overview there in regards to race. And I will be talking about race more on other shows. I do have some pretty good books on it. Of course, they're more older books, because the stuff now, like I said, I wouldn't waste time with any of that stuff. And if you want any of these books on the old race stuff, I would suggest procuring them now. Amazon is censoring a lot of these books, or the price is like really expensive. They've already censored books on vaccination, the holohoax, white racialism. So you might want to get these books while you can. You don't necessarily have to procure them from Amazon Primate. But if you are interested in the topic of real anthropology, not the fake out of Africa stuff, I would suggest building up your book collection now. So that is a bit of what I have right there for that little bit about race. Let me go back to my notes for a moment. Well, I just wanted to mention a book that one of the listeners of the broadcast has mentioned to me, and he wanted me to mention it to everyone else who was a listener of the broadcast. I have not read this book yet, but it could be a good read, perhaps something good to share with other people. So this book was written by a French man named Hervé Riesen, and he actually was jailed back in 2015 for 3 months after he wrote this book. And this book is called Israel's Billions, Jewish Swindlers and International Financiers. And I'm going to just provide the link right now in the chat if anyone is interested in procuring this tome. I will put this right here. Like I said, I have not read this book, but it does look good. And this is a listener of the broadcast who always sends me very good information about stuff. His name is Claudio. So thank you, Claudio, for sending me this. He always sends me very nice information, very articulate human, very nice person. So always sends me good stuff. So just wanted to share this book, Israel's Billions, Jewish Swindlers and International Financiers, written by Hervé Riesen. So if you haven't looked into the financial angle of everything that happens in the world, this would be a good area to look into, especially since a lot of people, they care about money. They care about their money being, well, you know, taken from them. So maybe if you're talking to people about these issues, sometimes things will stop or their eyes will widen when you talk about money. So just wanted to mention that right there. I'm getting a question from ExoStar. Koreans are mongoloids, but they are a mixed race. The Koreans are mongoloid as well as cut with Australoid blood. That's why they have that very wide nose. If you notice with the Chinese and the Koreans, they have that very wide nose. That's because they have some Australoid blood in them. The Japanese don't. The Japanese have more of like finer features and kind of have more of like a pointier nose. They don't. The Japanese are the Aryans of Asia. The Koreans and the Chinese are a mixed race people. So that's why. And if you go down further to the people of Southeast Asia, like Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, that type of thing, those people have more Australoid blood. That's why they have darker skin. Of course, they also live in a climate where they're getting more sun all the time, too. But oftentimes, one of the reasons that Koreans, especially, and Chinese don't like the Japanese is because they are the Aryans of Asia. Yeah, that's, and Rich is saying, my wife used to call Koreans pan face because their faces look smashed like a frying pan. Yeah, they have like a very flat looking face. A lot of plastic surgery goes on there. A lot of double jaw surgery with the ladies, especially. They get like their jaw broken and like pushed back. They get a fake epithelial fold put in because they lack an epithelial fold. They're crazy for plastic surgery over there. It's really wild. And I think it's kind of weird that the Chinese, I know about this, the Koreans, I'm not sure, they really like, they loathe black people over in China. And I think they do in Korea too, but like they actually have Australoid blood. So like they're not Negro black, they're Australoid black, but like it's just kind of ironic that they like, they have all this like malice for blacks, yet like they are kind of black or brown. So. But yeah, that's why. And oftentimes you'll also see something, and I talked about on a broadcast a couple of weeks back, it's called prognatism. You see this in blacks where the jaw juts out. You see that also with Koreans and Chinese, and you also see it with Australoids. If you look at a skull, a Negroid skull and an Australoid skull, they have that prognatism where the jaw just juts out like an animal muzzle, and you'll see that with Koreans as well as on the Chinese. You won't see it that often with Japanese. Sometimes you'll see it with whites, but oftentimes it's more of an issue of malocclusion, which would be from malnutrition. It wouldn't be because of it being a racial marker, essentially. But yeah, that's why. Many have tongues too large for their mouths, too, and have a lisp. Yeah, I've noticed that, too. Maybe that's from malocclusion, possibly. I mean, they don't eat as good of, everyone in the world doesn't eat as good as a diet as they did 50, 100, 200 years ago. I mean, even areas that kind of have more of a traditional culinary culture, they still don't necessarily eat as well as people ate, you know, back in the day. I mean, how many people really are eating like a true, true natural human diet from like gestation to like their last breath? Very few, very, very few people are. So yeah, race is a pretty interesting thing. You really can't talk about it and be politically correct. There's really no way to be. You just have to be really honest about it. And look, everyone's different. If you're listening to this and you're not white, enjoy your differences. Everyone's different. That's real diversity, not diversity, right? Every race has pluses and minuses. Some races are better at swimming. Some races are better at high jumping. Some races can have bigger lungs. So, I mean, just enjoy who you are. So that's it. But yes, we were discussing a little bit of medical abnormalities there with, I guess, some of the malnutrition and things like that. And yeah, but that's pretty much what it is. Very, very fascinating subject, I think, race is. It's always something that I like to talk about. And like I said, you really can't have a real conversation about race and be politically correct. It's not possible. This information isn't meant to offend anybody. I mean, granted, this show is a pretty raw broadcast. If you're offended, I'm assuming that you probably stopped listening a long time ago. But that's never the point of this show. It's always to be informative, inspiring, and a touch humorous. So that's all I wanted to say about race right there. And that little book recommendation that I also gave out too. Always good to have a nice library of books. You never know when stuff is just going to be totally showed from the internet too, you know? So I always like to have books. I also always like to have information that I'll rip and cut and paste out of, you know, the internet, because you never know. You can go to a page one day and it will just totally be 404. It'll just be like totally gone. So it's always good to save this type of stuff, because, well, who knows, with all the censorship that they're doing as of late, this is the direction that it's going in. Let's see what else I have right here. And a couple of things about food that I wanted to share. Let's see, here's something I just wanted to share right now. This is just a little bit of inspiring thing about eating and things like that, something a little uplifting for everybody. And this comes from the email from Carnivore Aurelius, and I don't follow a carnivorous diet wholly, although in nature, an animal that only eats 20% of its intake from animals is considered a carnivore. I follow an animal-based diet, but I eat from both kingdoms. But anyway, here is a little food for thought. Society today preaches mindless consumption. In a world devoid of meaning, consumption is the North Star. Discipline has gone to the wayside in favor of a morality that encourages no limits. And this really isn't a morality, of course. News, or more like Jews, clothes, money, social media, or anti-social media, and food. Intake, attachment, and accumulation has never been higher. But clearly this has not yielded happiness and health. One of the biggest problems that the stuff people are consuming is junk. It gives you a hit of dopamine, but it does not truly satiate you. Because of this, people are overfed but not nourished, overinformed but not educated, overeducated but not wise, overconnected but not genuine, overstimulated but not interesting. It's counterintuitive, but people who are obese are also the most likely to be malnourished, despite consuming so many calories. It's because everything we're consuming is empty of real value. The antidote, they're saying time to start fasting from the vacuous crap. And they mean fasting from all this crud, news, clothing, money, social media, food, all that type of stuff. So yeah, a little bit of inspiring words right there. It is true. If someone is obese, the more obese they are, they're more likely to be malnourished, which sounds like it couldn't possibly be true. But, well, it is true, because these people are just toxic and the fat is just toxicity stores, essentially. And one of the reasons people are so large these days is toxicity from eating seed oils, from high fructose corn syrup, from vaccination, from all the pesticides, herbicides, fungicides in the food. That's why people are fat. It's not meat. Meat is not why people are fat. If meat made people fat, people would have been fat for hundreds of thousands of years already. People have really only been fat, like, I should really say overweight, because the word fat is makes it seem like eating fat or eating lipids is a bad thing, and that's certainly not true. If people have really only become seriously overweight really in the last 100 years, most notably in the last 50 years. Even growing up in the 80s, I didn't see that many people who were like sickly, morbidly obese, just very, very large. And now you see it all the time. And here is a groovy tweet from Carnivore Aurelius, and it has to do with protesting. He goes on to say, if you really want to protest, fast from the endless garbage society encourages. Pornography, news, TikTok, seed oils, sugars, and a victim mindset. Be the most badass version of yourself. This is true rebellion. And certainly, all those things are a waste of time. Porn, news, TikTok, seed oils, sugars, and victim mindset. You could ban, well, pretty much most of those, and I would be okay with that. But yeah, we really live in quite a zoggy-zog world, and it's easy to kind of get sucked into the vortex, especially if you don't know what's going on. And a lot of people oftentimes don't know what's going on because, well, I guess they haven't been paying attention, or they just got sucked into this filth and now they're just like locked into it. And it's like a chicken without a head. Like, they get in all this information, but for some reason they don't have the filtering system to filter out, to understand what's real, what's not, what's good, what's a hoax, right? It's unfortunate. I feel like it does take a while to kind of tone that muscle, like when you read an article and you're like, okay, this is what they're really saying to me, right? But once you hone it, you got it, like anything else. But I hear people tell me sometimes, I don't know where to begin. How do I know what I'm reading is truth? How do I know that what I'm hearing is actually real? Well, you have to trust something. That's the problem. People either put their trust in the wrong thing or they don't trust anything. Let's check the chat. Most Jews have a nose that's so hooked you can catch a couple of trout with them. Yeah, you pretty much can. They really do. They have like that nose that just kind of hooks down. I'd actually sent ExoStar this infograph or this meme today of Jewish phenotypes, just to give him an idea of what they are. Let me see, where did I put that? Here it is. It's in my radio folder. I have different folders for the broadcast. Some of them are just things for me. Where did I put that? Here we go, phenotypes. And this little picture shows what they consider to be three Jewish phenotypes. Just waiting for this thing to load. It's a bit molassesy. Okay, here we go. Okay, so here are the three Jewish phenotypes. The hawk, and they show a picture of Barbara Streisand. The hawk, usually hazel or green eyes with a reptilian gaze, often lighter colored features, a beak nose with some overlap with the goblin type. A lot of Jewish yentas look like this, meaning women. So they have the light skin and the light eyes, but you can tell by looking at them that they're Jews. And they also oftentimes tend to have their eyes very close together or sometimes very far apart with certain Jews. The troll, small beady eyes, somewhat close together, and odd facial features, sometimes a prominent nose with a bulbous tip. And here they're showing that guy, Ron Perlman, who I think was, what was that movie? I'm forgetting it now. Probably somebody in the chat would know that like movie where he played that superhero. I don't know. I'm at a loss for a lot of these. Hellboy, that's it. Yeah. Okay, and then the third one is the goblin, and they're showing pictures of Anthony Weiner, Larry King. The goblin, this is the classic Le Happy Merchant hand-rubbing Jew. Posterior sloped forehead, classic offensive Jew nose, and a greasy smile. Ah, how could someone's smile be greasy, you ask? Well, Looks like Anthony Weiner has very much a greasy smile. And it's funny because next to these pictures of these Jews, they actually show a hawk, like an actual hawk, an actual troll, and an actual goblin. And I have to say, it's pretty accurate. Humorous stuff right there. And speaking of Jews, I actually had this list that I've been saving for a while of endless Jewish subversion. I just wanted to go through this list. Maybe you know some of these things, maybe you don't know some of these things, but this is just an example of how the subversion works. And we talked a little bit about subversion when I was talking about the Khazars, how they pretend to be white, and then they say all this anti-white stuff. And oftentimes there's been Twitter collages where they say all this stuff about them being white, and then you see them saying all this stuff about them being Jewish. So this is just constantly playing both sides. It's like a tennis match, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. ExoStar is saying in the chat, funny how a lot of these mythological monsters and characters resemble these phenotypes even in cartoons. Yeah, absolutely. One that comes to mind for me is Gargamel in the Smurfs. Anyone who's ever was a fan of watching the Smurfs growing up, I was a big fan of the Smurfs. Gargamel is definitely like typical Jewish phenotype. Extremely nasty, always trying to eat the Smurfs or harass the Smurfs and bother them, treats his cat Azrael like absolute feces. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of these phenotypes in the cartoons, very, very obvious. It's almost like a way for children to kind of like know on the sly what's going on. So here is a list of endless Jewish subversion. And here is the list. Psychiatry was invented by Sigmund Freud. Jewish. Evolution was thought up by Charles Darwin. Jewish. Marxism was created by Karl Marx. And after this, it all just says a Jew. I'm just going to read who it is as opposed to just saying it over and over again. But so Marxism was created by Karl Marx. Communism was created by Karl Marx. Communism was instated by Jews, Vladimir Lenin, Leon Trotsky, Lev Kamenev, Israel Epstein, and many more were Jews. Atheism was the Soviet Union's state religion. American Atheist was started by Madeline Murray O'Hare, Jewish. Separation of church and state was started by New Amsterdam by Jewish slave traders from Brazil. Prayer was taken out of school by Madeline Murray O'Hare. Sexual reassignment surgery or transgenderism was invented by Magnus Hirschfeld, who oftentimes articles would like to say that he's German. No, he wasn't German. The first homosexual and transsexual advocate was also Magnus Hirschfeld. First to perform a homosexual marriage ceremony in the U.S. was Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg. Abortion pill was invented by Etienne Emile Berlioz, also Jewish. Nation Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws was created by Betty Friedman. Planned Parenthood president is Cecil Richards. Birth control pill was invented by Gregory Pincus. These are all Jews. Repeat of laws prohibiting interracial marriage in the U.S. was fought by Bernard S. Cohen. The NAACP president from 1908 to 1975 were all Jews. And that's the National African American Colored Person, something like that. That's an organization that is for Black people. But who's running it? Jews. Just like BLM, who's running it? Jews. Desegregation was started by Esther Brown. Anti-apartheid in South Africa was started by Helen Suzman. The ACLU was founded by Morris Ernst, Felix Frankfurter, Jane Addams, and Crystal Eastman. The ACLU president is Susan N. Herman. The SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, was founded by Morris Dees and Joseph J. Levin Jr., Oy Vey. The SPLC president is J. Richard Cohen. Separation of church and state was started by Jews in New Amsterdam. Atom bomb secrets were given to the Soviet Union, thus starting the Cold War by Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Non-conservative, or maybe neoconservative, I'm not sure, founder was Irving Kristol. Common Core architect is the thing I use in school, which dumbs people down, David Coleman. Burning the American flag was changed to free speech by William Kunstler. That's a funny last name. Playboy writers were all Jews, sparking the sexual exploitation of white Christian women. black.com, interracial black and white pornography site, was started by Greg Linsky. Bugsy and Meyer Mob, Murder, Inc., and National Crime Syndicate, these were all mafia, were founded and operated by Bugsy Siegel and Meyer Lansky, both Oy Vey's. The top bootlegger during Prohibition was Arnold the Brain Rothstein. Slaves were brought to the American colonies by Jews. The biggest slave traders in North America were Aaron Lopez, John Law, and the DeWolf family, all Oy Vey's. Monsanto was a slave trading and slave owning Jewish family in New Orleans. Of course, those are the people who are now poisoning the soil. They went from slave trading to poisoning the soil. Lehman Brothers of the Lehman family made its fortune from slavery, and they were Jews. Spanish Civil, Russian Revolution, and the French Revolution were all sparked and led by Jews. The Young Turks, who committed the genocide of Armenians, mostly Christian, meaning white, in the Ottoman Empire, was founded by and led by Jews. The Holodomor, the forced starving of 7 million Ukrainians, was led by Lazar Kaganovich, Genrikh Yagoda, Nikolai Yeshova, and among others who were all Jews. And that's the real Holocaust that you never hear about, the Holodomor. Of course, they like to trademark that Holocaust is just theirs, but that was a real forced starving of 7 million people. It wasn't a make-believe fantasy gassing of 6 million people. Let's check the chat. Damn, now we're talking history-based is what Rich is saying. Josh is saying this is all a coincidence. Goy, rather. OG Snicka is saying basically everything is Jewish. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the things they've infiltrated and these things that they've set up, a lot of these corporations, unfortunately, it all is. Yeah, this is just a small list. I'm sure it can go on and on and on, but this is just a small thing. And this is just probably most of these are in the last, 200 years, this list right here. I mean, they've been kicked out of 109 countries going back to Carthage in 250 AD. I mean, this list of subversion goes way, way back. I was just reading more of the more recent stuff that that they've subverted with. But they are always doing something to subvert, constantly. That's what they do. That's how they've gotten as far as they've gotten, by subverting, by pretending to be white, by brain poisoning people, by entertaining them with Talmudic trinkets. This is how they've been able to get that far, by subversion, infiltrating government, using their women to kind of like whore themselves out with the whole, exogenous marriage thing. Oftentimes the Jews have been referred to the people of the whorehouse. And I think the reason that they trace their lineage through the women is because the women have been known to kind of like sex themselves up and go somewhere and try to look as hot and sexy as they could. Some probably easier than others, and then just subvert there and, sleep with a guy and, use him or have a baby with him. So, I mean, they've been masters of this game for a really long time. They don't care about being scummy or degenerate or ratchet or anything like that. This is just what they do and how they do. And that's how they've been able to get what they've done, by doing all this unsavory, subversive, lying, weaselly stuff, which most whites would be like, well, shit, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to out in the open say what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it, in more of a noble, normal way. But we have to realize we're not dealing with a normal enemy. We're dealing with, a really unhinged and unhealthy entity. And let's see what ExoStar is saying. I mean, the people who create and build SIGs are Euro, but the people who have their hands in the money as well, Yep. Well, it's like William Luther Pierce said. He said, you never see a Jewish bricklayer or a Jewish plumber. I mean, you really don't. I mean, maybe back in the day, there were a couple of what they call more shanty Jews, Goyim Jews, that would do that type of work. But in general, you really don't see them doing that type of manual labor. They would own the building where the labor was being done. They wouldn't be doing the labor. That's pretty much how they've worked it. And of course, they've been able to acquire all of this wealth based on the ownership of the financial system. Federal Reserve Act being passed in, I think it was the day before Christmas Eve, back in 1913. So they've had a stranglehold based on that Federal Reserve for a long, long time. And there were actually two other banks before that time that were kind of like the Federal Reserve, if memory serves correctly, but they were both kind of dismantled. And then the Federal Reserve Act got passed in by Woodrow Wilson. And we've been living under this stinky, hideous, miasmic kosher thumb for the last 107 years. Crazy stuff. Very, very crazy stuff. So let's see what else I have for the broadcast. Kind of a bit of a hodgepodge broadcast. I did like 9 hours of broadcasting or something like that last week, and I just was, I don't know, didn't really put too much together for this show, but I always have a bunch of articles, a bunch of things. I think we'll talk about eggs, and then we'll close out the broadcast. I want to just talk a little bit about eggs. I always like to leave everyone on a bit of a high note, a bit of a food note, to get you thinking about something good besides just getting all this knowledge about the Oy Vey's. So this article is called Raw Eggs, Better Than a Multivitamin. Okay, so this is from the Raw Paleo website. Really cool information over there. And here's a bit about raw eggs, which might sound to some people like a little bit weird, but I eat raw eggs. I don't eat them every day, but I do eat raw eggs. I mostly fancy the yolk. Sometimes I eat the white, but here's a bit about raw eggs. I just received another text this morning about raw eggs. This time it was a photo from a friend who's now adding whole raw eggs to their smoothie. This means so much to me and it makes my heart smile. I know they've just added so much value to their smoothie, their body, and their life. I also notice how good I feel right after eating raw eggs. They're light and easy on my body, giving me a natural boost of energy. When eggs are not heated, they digest and assimilate very easily due to their natural inherent enzymes. Raw eggs also provide my body with a highly absorbable form of fat, protein, and vital nutrients. Raw eggs really are nature's original superfood. When I eat raw eggs, I like to eat the whole egg and I don't separate the white from the yolk. I trust that nature knows what it's doing and I never want to denature nature. I always find a fat and protein together in nature. That's like kind of eating like a fatty steak, for example. I sometimes hear from people that they're concerned about eating raw eggs because they've been told that the avidin in the egg white will deplete the biotin in their body. After doing much research, I've come to understand that egg yolks are one of nature's richest sources of biotin. There is more than enough biotin in the yolk to counter the avidin in the white. However, if you eat only raw egg whites, the avidin in the whites will definitely deplete the biotin in your body. And this is kind of like the bodybuilding, the Jewish bodybuilding diet, the raw egg whites. I mean, not raw egg whites, but egg white diet. When I was into the whole fitness thing back in the day and I was taking like a ton of these supplements, I was doing the egg whites, embarrassing as that is. I have personally interviewed many people who have eaten raw eggs for several decades, and no one has ever had a biotin deficiency, nor have they ever heard of anyone who has had a biotin deficiency. There's also nothing to be afraid of when eating real raw foods sourced from a trusted source. Don't be afraid of food, people, as one of my farmer friends tells me. And that is true. People are really, there's a fear of everything nowadays, right? From wearing a mask during sex to being afraid of food. Unwashed eggs come in a perfect package with a natural bloom, that's the stuff on the outside, intact on the shell, which doesn't let any bacteria through. Healthy chickens produce healthy food. Sick chickens produce sick food. Pretty simple. Make sure to buy pasture-raised, grass-fed, organic eggs, preferably from a farmer or a farmer's market. Or if you happen to have backyard chickens, that is always really groovy too. That's something that Josh has, and I have them as well. Maybe you listening to the broadcast, maybe you have some too. Let's take a gander at the chat for a moment. Josh is saying, speaking of eggs, we have had two additions to our chicken flock and may get a couple of more if their eggs hatch. Oh, very cute. OG Snake Eyes is saying, hard-boiled or soft-boiled or better. Raw eggs only give about 50% of the nutritional value of a soft-boiled or hard-boiled egg. Look it up to get the most Don't Break the Yolk. I've heard off and on about both. I mean, for me, I do both. I like to have both. I don't like when the egg yellow is too cooked. I find that very hard to digest when like the yolk is like cooked, like hard boiled. So I typically don't do them like that. If I'm not eating them raw, I'm typically doing them sunny up. Like this morning I had them sunny up. Raw eggs do a body good. Let's start with the wonderful raw cholesterol you'll be getting with the raw eggs. Our body can't make sex hormones or stress hormones without cholesterol because they're made out of cholesterol. Cholesterol is at the root of the hormones in your body, including estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, cortisol, DHEA, and aldosterone. Are your hormones off balance? Eat raw eggs for hormonal support and balance. And of course, eggs in general are good, regardless of cooked or non-cooked. I think lightly cooked would probably be the most preferable way if you didn't want to take them raw. So if you're not at that point where you're fixing to take any raw animal foods, don't be discouraged. Just think about ways to probably, or possibly rather, add good quality pastured eggs to your diet and try to get eggs that are soy-free if you can, because a lot of chickens are fed soy and then that goes into you and, well, that's not good stuff. I've coached a few friends who started to eat raw eggs that were having fertility difficulties and menstrual cycle problems for quite some time. I told them to add 2 raw eggs to their daily smoothie and both have seen wonderful results. One of the friend's menstrual periods came back and it's on a regular 28-day cycle now. Regular menstrual cycles are a sign that your body is working and functioning correctly. Did you know that raw cholesterol is anti-aging? And that's contrary to what they always tell us. They're always saying, oh, cholesterol is so bad. Don't eat it. It'll give you all of these problems like heart disease. No, that's not true. That's just a kosher lie to keep you sick. Cholesterol helps you to have smooth, glowing skin because it allows your skin to hold on to optimal amounts of water. Wrinkles, in part, are caused by dry skin. So it's not how much water you drink, but also how much water your skin is able to hold on to. Cholesterol additionally helps your skin by repairing cells that have been damaged. It's also an antioxidant. Cholesterol is the unsung antioxidant. Antioxidants protect you from free radicals and their dangerous oxidizing effects. Free radicals can cause unwanted premature aging. Dr. Mercola's article says that when eggs are antioxidants in eggs are reduced 50% when they're fried or boiled. Glutamine and cysteine are present in raw eggs but lost when cooked, and they're responsible for manufacturing glutathione, which is considered to be the master antioxidant of the body. The raw egg whites are a good source of natural collagen for a natural lift. Collagen keeps your skin looking young, and it's good for your joints, hair, skin, and nails. Remember that raw cholesterol and raw fat are your buddies. The amount of cholesterol you eat in your diet does not relate to the amount of cholesterol deposited. In fact, many studies show that women who have high cholesterol levels live the longest. And when there's cholesterol deposited, that is more likely to happen when someone is eating a shit diet, a plant-based diet. All those buffoons who are telling you not to eat cholesterol are the ones that are having cholesterol deposit in their system from their low protein, totally devoid animal fat diet that is just high in sugar and high in the worst types of sugars, so hard to digest. And they're mentally ill. That's why they tell you this type of stuff, because they don't know what they're talking about. Health benefits of raw eggs. Raw eggs are a nutritional powerhouse for the very important fat-soluble vitamins, very important to have these in the diet, A, D, E, and K2. And if you're following a vegan diet, if you're following the SAD diet, or really any diet that Zog tells you to be on, you're missing out on A, D, E, and K2. Extremely important to have these in your diet. If grass-fed, the eggs, they're also a good source of B vitamins, B1, B2, B6, B12, and biotin. B6 is something that most people are deficient in. It's really only found in raw animal foods, especially raw meat. Additionally, eggs contain tryptophan, tyrosine, calcium, iron, selenium, phosphorus, zinc, thiamine, and manganese. And getting all this stuff that I just mentioned, all these vitamins and minerals, these can be found in a host of animal foods, not just eggs. Let's see. Oh, it looks like Damon has joined us. Hello, thanks for joining. little bit of a chat going on. Cholesterol is essential for testosterone production. OG Snake Eyes is telling us, yep. Damon is saying cholesterol is essential for the synthesis of every hormone. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And they always tell us the exact opposite because, well, they don't want us to be well. They don't want any of us to be well. Raw eggs are also rich in lutein and xenoestrogen, which can help in the prevention of eye diseases such as macular degeneration and cataracts. Some people refer to lutein and xenoestrogen as two superfoods that stop blindness. If you heat the eggs, the lutein and the xenoestrogen become damaged and won't work as well. Due to high amounts of choline found in raw eggs, they can significantly help with brain fog and other cognitive issues. Those are things that vegans oftentimes deal with. Choline is very important for the nervous system and the digestive system. It signals a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, which runs your heart and keeps your intestines moving along. Choline is also vital for a healthy liver. Raw eggs are very detoxifying due to their sulfur amino acids. Not only is sulfur detoxifying, but it keeps you young. It's great for the joints, the hair, the skin, and the nails. If you want balanced hormones, clear thinking, good memory, great skin, liver support, muscle building raw protein, excellent eyesight, brain food, shiny hair, strong nails, and to feel good, eat raw eggs. And there you go. Simple stuff. And you could easily just crack them into like a morning smoothie if you were just kind of maybe just, I don't know, grossed out by it. When I want them, I'll just put them in a dish and I'll just suck them down like that. I'll just swallow it whole. But everyone has their preference of what they fancy. Just a little bit there about eggs. And eggs are a pretty affordable source of animal protein too, especially if maybe getting some of the grass-fed meats and things like that are a little bit more expensive or maybe not available depending on where you live or what your availability for these things are. So it's just something to think about there. Yeah, eggs every day, definitely. I agree with Damon. Every single day, I have them almost every day. You can make them so many different ways. If you don't want to have them raw, I mean, you could do scrambled, you could do sunny up, you could do poached, soft boiled. There's even a bunch of old fashioned ways to do eggs. Like one of them is called coddling, one of them is called shirring. So there's like just a million ways to do eggs and make them tasty. Like for me today, I had three eggs in the morning as like kind of like, I guess like my second meal. And then later today I had fried rice and I put a little bit of scrambled egg in that. So it's always nice to have all these foods, and it's pretty easy to eat all these nutrient dense foods. I think it's pretty easy to get them in a day. I guess at first it seemed kind of daunting to me, but now that I do it on the regular and I'm always getting in all of these good foods, it feels very, very nourishing. And I don't even think I realized that I had been deprived of all this delicious, intensely good food for so long. I think all of us have, even if we grew up like eating some meat and stuff, because I really didn't. I just pretty much grew up with like fish and a wee bit of eggs and dairy. So the meat thing for me was new. I basically went from growing up on a mostly cooked vegetable diet to eating raw meat, which is a huge change. But I'm always open to finding the truth of things. That's, I think, something that I'm very much interested in. Then again, oftentimes when you try all this stuff, sometimes you fumble and you flummox and you try stuff that sucks, but it's just part of the journey. So that's the way it goes. Damon is saying, I ate grain cereal for so many years. Oh yeah, I did too. I grew up on that. I ate grains like 3-4 times a day growing up, and whole grains too. So all that fiber. I was constipated so much when I was a child. I don't think my parents had any idea because, of course, we were always fed that bullshit line, you know, low fat, high fiber, when it really should be more high fat, low fiber, or medium fat, medium fiber, depending on who you are. And the grain fibers are some of the most offensive fibers to have. People can oftentimes tolerate the vegetable and the fruit fibers way more easily than they can the grain fibers or the bean fibers. Those are really, really hard for people to deal with, especially children when their intestines are young and small. Like it's really hard to eat all that stuff. I don't know how I'm still alive. Well, I guess I've got more reasons than that I would be alive. But wow, when I look back and I think of like some of the things I ate, or you think about all the time you spent like preparing something, shopping for it, sourcing it, and you realize like, oh my God, I was wasting so much time doing something so stupid. And it was actually harming my health. I've had a bunch of those moments, but on this other vein, if you're open to trying these things and maybe some of these things suck, you're also open to searching and finding the truth. So it works both ways. If you're a kind of person who's tends to be intense and extreme and kind of go for all these different things, eventually you're gonna hit it and find what works for you. Yeah, definitely. Damon is saying, good thing the body can be so forgiving. Yeah, it can. We can do a lot to the body in different ways, from wild diets to substance abuse to lack of sleep and stress, all these types of things that take a toll. Of course, it takes more of a toll as we get older, but we could always do stuff to make ourselves better. You know, we have to want to, though. There's always that. Not everybody wants to. It's kind of hard for me to accept sometimes that a lot of people just don't want to optimize themselves. I don't know. I find that hard to accept because I always want to, but not everybody wants to. So it's something that I sometimes have to accept, especially with, you know, IRL friends and family. Oftentimes they don't want to improve themselves. And well, that is a bummer for me. But I guess it's something that I have to accept. Maybe one day they'll come around. Maybe when the climate of the world becomes a bit more unbearable, maybe they'll come around to more of the, I guess, the racial realism beliefs. Maybe they'll come around more to becoming, you know, Jew aware. Maybe they'll come around more to eating a good diet. That's all I could hope for everybody, honestly. So I think I'll close it out here for this evening's edition of White Wellness. I thank everyone for listening to the broadcast. A great lively chat, just like we had last week in the chat. So that was very good. I always like answering the questions and seeing all the things that people have to say. And I hope everyone enjoyed this broadcast. And tomorrow night, me and Mike and Josh are going to be doing our 6-month anniversary show. Tomorrow is the official 6-month mark of the American National Radio Network being formed. 6 months has really gone by quickly. I think we've all done a really good job. It's really nice having the listenership growing. So tomorrow will be that special anniversary broadcast. I don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but I'm sure it should be a good show. So stay tuned for that. And thank you. I'm glad you guys enjoyed the show. Be sure to catch all the wonderful broadcasts over here at the one and only American National Radio Network. To everyone listening live, wishing you a lovely evening. And to everyone in the archives, wishing you a lovely day. Okay, everybody. Sat Nam. Goodbye.